Yeah, made reference to his appearing. Well, I guess that's the idea. I get, immediately makes me think of that because he's the. How does he bring life and immortality to life? Because ultimately, our immortality is not realized until the resurrection. Though the works began before the foundation of the world, and they were even finished before the foundation of the world. Because when God makes his decision, it's decided. That's it. When he loves you, he saves you. His love is given to you before you're even alive. Before you're even made. Before your grandparents were even made. Or even the first man was ever made. God loved those who were his. And if he loves you, he saves you. That is powerful love. I've kind of, in several studies, I've made a point of that, because I think it's very important. If you love someone, you don't let them destroy themselves. If it's in your power to stop them, you do. You do it. You don't say, well, it's, my hands are tied because they got to have their free will. And why even in the, even our country's laws are greater love than that? Because our country says, no, it's not legal for them to commit suicide. If someone's committing suicide, what happens? The police come and try to stop them. Our laws love people more than their God does. Because their God is going to let you go to hell unless you free will choose to live. Even though he could stop you, because he's all the power of heaven and earth is in his hands. Why will you die? Well, why would he let you? If he came to save us and be our savior, we will be saved. Pardon me. Hold fast the form of sound doctrine, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That which was committed to Christ, that which he has committed to us, the gift, the word, the doctrine, we got to keep, he's got to keep, we're all keeping. We're all guarding. And there's, you know, all of the things of faith, you know? Faith and love. The form of sound words. The sound words are the words, the sound that lead to sound doctrine, which leads you to profiting in the Lord and profiting in the things which God has given. Things which pertain to the divine nature, which pertain to godliness. These are the things we want to profit in. These are the form of sound words. What's not sound words is things like, well, our church is going to have a seminar on how to invest properly and how to profit in the world. Buying a home, do's and don'ts. You know? Things to help you get through this life that don't pertain to godliness, but pertain to your own covetousness and pertain to the lust of the flesh. I remember I went to one church and they had a series called Unwrapping Sex, all about sex between the husband, it's all about the husband and wife, but I thought to myself, I'm like, how's this going to lead people to godliness? Like, they need to have a minister come forth and tell them, hey, you ought to enjoy sex with your wife. What unprofitable, vain jangling. Sex is God's gift to married couples. It's right for you to enjoy sex with your wife. What this is, and as the single people sitting there, you're provoking them to jealousy. And, you know, it's like, and like, I don't know. I mean, it just baffled me. It's like, why are we even doing this? Why? It doesn't profit. Faith and love. What does love lead us to? Love leads to life. You know, when I love my enemy and I love my neighbor, it's because I'm doing the things which would lead them to life. Sometimes that means rebuking people. Sometimes that means being kind to them, or turning the other cheek, or a number of things. You know, the Spirit is our guide. And that is how we keep all those things that have been committed to us by the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. That's the thing. That's what the, you know, that's the conduit through which the power of God is in us. Verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Onesiphorus and Aurelius has Paul blessed. He, you know, because, I mean, people are like, I don't know if I want to. Paul is in prison, and he's probably going to be put to death. I don't know if I want to associate myself with him. That could put me in danger. Onesiphorus, where's Paul? I need to see Paul. He's in the prison. He goes in the prison. You know, then people know it's like this guy came and visited Paul, but he wasn't afraid. He wasn't ashamed. You know, like if your minister's in jail, that's can be cause for shame. Unfortunately for Paul, he wasn't in jail as an evildoer, except that the enemies of the gospel claimed he was an evildoer. And maybe he'd be falsely accused, but knowing the truth. That's the thing. It's like, what if someone, you know, someone falsely accuses someone, a brother, and they're put in prison? You know, he didn't, you know, he touched me inappropriately. One accuser, and the gospel says, without two or three witnesses, you don't receive an accusation. In our law system, you do. It only takes one accuser. It's kind of scary. They usually look for other evidence, of course. There has to be some sort of foundation to the claim. But, still. You know, they go to, what if there's doubt? You know, it's like, well, you know, do you go see the guy or are you ashamed of him? You know? But everyone in Asia had turned away from Paul. That's Asia Minor. Does that mean every single person again? I don't think so. Every single person on that entire landmass had turned away from Paul. See, all is a figure of speech. A lot of times in the scripture. And a lot of times in real life when we say like,